our new series on the parables of Jesus. The book of Luke, chapter 7, is our first stop. The old saying is that money makes the world go round. And even in the church, we understand that saying. We can grasp it and understand it. I mean, it might not be what the world revolves around for us, but we understand that that's what it takes to pay our bills. That's what it takes to keep the roof over our head, to have food on the table for our families. So we grasp and we understand the importance of money. And when Jesus speaks of the concept of it, it should be something that we know about, right? All of us have to deal with money in one way or another. So when Jesus teaches us a lesson on it, and when he uses money as that common ground for that lesson for us to learn, then there's so much wealth that we can learn. Now, today's parables all have to do with this idea and deal with money. Each and every one of them today deals with money. The first one deals with canceled debt. That's the first one that we'll be looking at. The second handles acquired wealth. And the third one involves total liquidation. Now, Pastor, that sounds like I'm going to be sleeping all the way through your message today. I know it sounds awfully boring, doesn't it? But there is a lot of truth in this. And there's truth from what God is trying to show us in his word so that we can know and understand as well. So hold on. There's spiritual truth here that we're looking at. Even though that does look like a rather boring list, there is life and hope and joy in it for us as we move forward. So let's go ahead and jump into the first one. It talks about canceled debt. First, let's look at what canceled debt is. Canceled debt is when a creditor forgives a debt without requiring consideration in return. That's the economic definition of canceled debt. It's when something happens that you have a debt that is large. Say you undergo brain surgery and they send you a hospital bill that's bigger than what you ever dreamed you could pay. And as a matter of fact, was bigger than what you could pay. And they had this wonderful part at the end of the bill that says, please send in now. So you call said hospital who sent you said bill and say, I have some money, but I don't have enough to send in all of that right now. Then they send you some paperwork and you fill it out. You make all the copies. You send it in. And the next thing you know is they send you in something in the mail that says, this is now what you owe. This amount has been forgiven. Now, so none of you think that I'm just totally talking generically. That's what happened to me. So I'm not just saying that this is something that figuratively can happen. This is something that did for me happen. I would have done a happy dance if I danced, because it was quite nice. It was wonderful. It was amazing. It was freeing because I felt the load of how much that was going to cost and how long I would be paying. So there is an idea of debt that can be canceled. And today I want you to know that there's something that's even better. Better than that? Yes, way better than that. And we begin in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 41. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender, and one owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. The parable has taken place at someone's house. To be exact, it's a Pharisee's house by the name of Simon. And it's amazing because Jesus is eating at a Pharisee's house. It's earlier on in his ministry. If it was later on in his ministry eating at a Pharisee's house, he'd probably be wondering if they tried to poison his food or anything. But as of right now, they were still having him over. This was going on and taking place. And while he was there, after he was done eating, while he was sitting at the table, something happened. A woman who is defined as someone who is living a sinful life begins to do something amazing. She comes into the house where she knew Jesus was. She came in carrying something, a rather expensive jar of perfume, comes over to Jesus, sees him there at the table, and bows down before his feet. Soon she starts weeping and crying, and she's pouring the perfume on his feet. Soon her tears begin to mingle with the perfume on his feet. And before anyone else knows what's going on, she begins to wipe the perfume and her tears on his feet with her hair. The Pharisee who's there at the table begins to think about something. He was thinking, if this Jesus guy was really a prophet, if he really was someone who could understand all things, he would know what type of woman who was touching his feet right now, and he wouldn't let her do it. Jesus' answer to that Pharisee who was thinking that thought was what we just read before you today. He answered that question that was in the guy's head with a parable answering his question and showing us this truth. And just like Paul Harvey used to love to give the rest of the story, here's the rest of it. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She was a sinful woman. That's how she was described. That just means that everybody in town knew exactly what she was guilty of and knew all of her wrongs and all of her faults and all the horrible things that she did because they labeled her the sinful one. That one over there, she's the sinful one. And everyone in town knew who she was. Yet when Jesus came to town, something happened. She had a desire to change, to repent. She heard that Jesus was offering forgiveness, and she came and fell at his feet. And the amazing thing happened is Jesus forgave all of her sin. He canceled all of her debt. Spiritually, that's what happened. She had the wages of sin in her life. That was why she had the label that she had. That's why Scripture didn't give her a name, but gave her label, a woman full of sin, a sinful woman. But Jesus saw the wages of what she had done and forgave and canceled her debt and set her free. He canceled her debt of sin. And the great news is that's what the cross is all about. Jesus still cancels sin and debt. Ours. He took our place when he hung on the cross. He bore our sin and our punishment, our shame, all of our wrong, all of those horrible things that we've done, and believe it, we've done it. And he hung in our place. And the blood that we just remembered, the body that was broken, all those things we just celebrated, he did on our behalf to cancel our debt, to forgive us. And when we find Jesus, we come and we bow down in faith at his feet. And we in repentance confess the horrible things we've done. Our sin. Our shame. And we find the same grace and forgiveness as the woman who was pouring perfume on his feet. As a matter of fact, the 103rd Psalm, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." And this morning, I want you to know that Jesus is in the business of canceling debt. But there's a problem. There's also acquired wealth. Yes, canceled debt is what we all strive for. It's what we need. But there's another real problem that we have, and that's acquired wealth. It's defined as things you've gained over a period of time. Whether it's through work, toil, or a gift, it's what you have. And Jesus gives us a parable on the subject that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 12, and verse number 16. He told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. 11 times in this verse, the rich fool says, I, me, or refers to himself pleasantly as you. So he's very good at taking care of, number one, me, myself, and I. This is my savings account. This is my 401k. These are all the stocks and bonds in my portfolio. Look how easy my life is. Oh, my safe wasn't big enough to hold all the stuff. I got a new one on order for all the stuff that's just rolling in on me right now. Now, we laugh about that. But do we trust in the same thing? Do we trust in the Lord to take care of us? Or do we trust in what we have? You see, there's something that's at odds here in life. What it's odds is it's canceled debt versus acquired wealth. And it's something that's going on in our lives. We know that canceled debt is what we need. We need Jesus to cancel our debt. But we have this problem with acquired wealth. Now, I'm not saying we all have to take a vow of poverty. But I really want you to see that what canceled debt's really what we need. But what happens is that people understand this concept of forgiveness. But then they just realize or think that, well, I just really got to be better than that guy over there. Because as long as I'm better than that one right there, I'm good. Because that's the one that's deserving of hell. And me measured up to him, I'm golden. And sometimes we get this idea that, you know, I just have to have enough good stuff, good works going on in my life. Because as long as I have more good than bad, then I'm going to make it. And then I'm going to be all right and everything's okay between me and God because I got all this good stuff here. I know I got some bad stuff going on here, but my good so much more outweighs the bad. So I'm going to be okay because that's why Jesus died anyway. I mean, he's really not going to send everybody to hell, right? But the problem is we have acquired wealth. We have the wages of sin that we've earned over the years. And we've got all that stuff that comes with us. And the word of God is still true that the wages of sin is still death. And we still need our debt canceled or forgiven. We don't need to just be better than someone else. We don't just need to have more good than more bad. We need our bad gone and done away with and put as far as the east is from the west. That's what needs to have happen with it. And this idea that if I can just be good enough and work hard enough, we can't work our way into heaven. We can't buy our way there. Or else we could stand there and boast and see, look what I've done with my life and how I've got myself here. And that's not how we get there at all. It's only by grace, not by works, that any man should boast. So this idea of we're doing it, we can accomplish it, doesn't really work. Because yes, even though we live in faith and victory, I want you to know that we can't do away with this idea of needing canceled debt because one day down the road we might goof up again and need him to forgive one more time and wash us again. That's why it's required from us is something different. We need canceled debt, but we've got this acquired wealth. So what do we need? We need total liquidation. That's when a business is going out of business and it's trying to sell off all of its remaining product to pay off its remaining debt. And they'll sell everything. You want to sell cash register? Sure, we'll sell you the cash register after we close. The fixtures, all this stuff. Yeah, man, you can have the fixtures. Take them. Because the more that they sell, the more they can get out of debt and the less that they have to worry about. Total liquidation. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that that's what we need? I'll do you one better than that. I'll show you a parable where Jesus said exactly that's what we need. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, in verse 44, we read this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. Total liquidation. When we allow Jesus to cancel our debt, we stop trusting on our own acquired wealth because we know that we've found something greater. Or as Jesus says in the parable, the kingdom of heaven. What we find eternity. We find love, joy, forgiveness. We find that when we put our faith and trust in Him and we ask for His forgiveness, that what we gain is not this world, but the world to come. The kingdom of heaven. And that's what we are looking for. That's what we're trying to enjoy. But in both of these parables, that is what's consistent. The kingdom of heaven. But there's two different variables. There's two different examples. The first is buried treasure. I mean, come on, who doesn't like buried treasure, right? You could even get a good old pirate R out of even the staunchest person who's found some buried treasure, right? We like buried treasure. But yet, the second is the pearl of great value. Think of a giant diamond in our culture and society because that was their value and what they thought of them. They were rare and they thought that they were worth. So if we think diamond as being one of the most impressive things, they thought pearls. And that's why Jesus used this parable. So both of those things, the buried treasure and the pearl, both of those were the variables that Jesus used in his story. But there was one more constant. Yes, the constant was the kingdom of heaven, but in both of those examples, there was one more constant that was there for us. And I want you to see that they sold all that they had and they bought it. In both instances and in both occasions, when they found something of greater worth, when they found something that was worth more to them than anything else, they sold all that they had and they bought it. And they purchased it. It was theirs. Now stay with me now. It's getting good. We need Jesus to cancel our debt. We need to get rid of our acquired wealth. Yes, He comes in and forgives us, but then there's something else that happens in our lives. It means that we have to make an investment in what's happening in our lives. If we know that this is the best thing that's out there, if we know that this is the best thing that's ever happened to us, then Jesus takes it a step farther and wants us to know that there's something that is now required of us. In both of those examples, they sold everything that they had and they went after it. And that means for us, we have to liquidate ourselves for more of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to go live in a commune and drink special Kool-Aid. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we have to make sure that what we're doing and who we are, that we're living all of our lives for Him and not for us. If there's anything in your life that you couldn't get rid of or do away with for more of Him, then that's something that we're holding closer to us than Him. And what's required of us is a total liquidation. Not I'll serve Him with this part of my life and this part of my life, but this part over here, this is mine and you can't have it. That's not what He's saying. He's saying that for us to have Him, we've got to give all, everything, so that we can have more of Him. John the Baptist put it this way, He must increase and I must decrease. But how are we really doing on the whole decreasing part? Are we really getting less and less of us? Are we really living for less and less of us and more of Him? Are we still pretty good at living to make us feel good? Are we still living to pump us up? Are to pump up Him. And then that also means that the sell-off has to be complete. God says we're to nail our old man to the cross, and that's so it doesn't come and try to take control again. We sell everything out so that there's nothing that we can fall back on because we want everything from Him and nothing from us. What greater joy when someone could look at our lives and instead of seeing us, they say Him. That's because when we sell out everything that's us for all that He is, that's what happens in our lives. But it takes us getting to that point where we want to take less and less of who we are for more of who He is in our lives. And are we willing to totally liquidate all of what we want for what we can become? Are we really ready to lay all that we think on the table to get all that He wants from our lives? Amen, Pastor, you know I am. Great, we'll see you all back here tonight at 6 o'clock for service. Did I just say that out loud? I think I did. And that means we'll see you, what, all for Sunday school tomorrow or next Sunday, right? Because we're selling everything out for more of Him, right? And Thursday night, each and every one of you will be here ready for service because we want more and we're ready to have everything. Get it? I'm not trying to just make anybody feel bad in this whole thing. I really want you to understand that we say, yes, first place. Yes, everything. Yes, He's going to be there. But then when we put something like that up, but I got to do this and this and this, Pastor. And oh, man, this week I also have this and this. And oh my goodness, can you believe it? Hello? Because we want to make sure that we get the stuff we want done. And we have to make sure that we get the place, the things that we need to have, that we think, that we want, that we have to build our barns. And if there's time, then we'll go to church. We have to do our stuff. And then if there's time, we'll open up His Word and pray. And that's not what we're required of us. What's required of us is a total liquidation of who we are for more of Him. In joy, they went away to do it because they found something that's going to give them life and life for eternity. And that's what we have when we have Jesus. And I also want you to know this morning that in liquidation, we win. As crazy as it sounds, that's what happened. Happens because Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, it says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So what do you want? Do you want to live your life here? Your way? What you want? Your time schedule? Your thoughts? Your plan? Because if you do it that way, you're going to lose eternal life. But this morning, if you're ready to sell everything out for all that He has, you will win eternity. And it's just like the parable, the great joy that we have in selling everything out so that we can have what's better. That's what we have to look forward to. And I know that He's coming and coming back soon, so we've got to be ready. But my question to you today is, are your debts canceled? Have they been forgiven? Are you still kind of holding on to your own wealth, your own way, your own thoughts, your own ideas, your own ways things should be? Are we entered into a process of a total liquidation where He's increasing and we're decreasing, where we're learning more and growing, where there's nothing else in this life that can take us away from who He is because we've found eternity, we've found forgiveness, we've found God and He loves us, and now my life revolves around Him and I just don't try to find a spot for Him in my life one again. This morning, where are you? Jesus and His parables of money show us so much more than just what we're to spend our money on. It shows us how we're to live our lives. This morning there is forgiveness and we can be spotless before Him. It's wonderful. It's amazing. We can have all of our debts canceled. And if you've never had Him forgive and cancel your sin, then let today be the day that you find that experience and be made clean and whole in His sight. But if you have that experience and now you've been trying to to be better than so-and-so or work harder here or do more there so that you can earn your way in. Stop. It's not worth it. You're not going to get there. That's not what's required. What's required is grace. And that grace means that we found the best thing and we're selling off everything else so that we can have more of Him. This morning, is He your buried treasure? Can you find no greater joy than just stand in the field where that treasure is? Is He your pearl of great price that you would ransom and give everything that you have just to be with Him? That's what our total liquidation is all about. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before You today and we ask, Father, for Your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us anew and afresh. Father, we ask that You would just come and fill this place right now and help us to see, Lord, where we are in You. Help us to see if we need Your love and Your grace to wash over any area of our lives. Help us to see if we need to come and just bow at Your feet and beg Your forgiveness. We've all been there. We've all done it. And Lord, we're so thankful for those times that we've had where You didn't reprimand us for our sin, but in love You picked us up and brushed us off and set us on the right road, free of what's bound us, clean and forgiven. And Father, if there's anyone here today that needs that in their lives, I pray that today would be the day that they would find You. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's been, if they've been counting on themselves and not You, if they've been trying to work their way in instead of accepting Your grace, if they've been counting and trusting in all of these other stuff instead of You, then Lord, today I pray that they would, today, that they would make their dedication You and more of You. And that would be exemplified by a total liquidation of everything else in their lives. And Father, that's all of us. Because we're all on that journey. The journey where we decrease and You increase. We need Your help on that today. Because we still have so far to go. So Father, help us this day to have more of You. More of You than ever before. More of You in our hearts and our lives. More of You and less of us. So Father, if there's anything here today that we've got to lay down, that get rid of, sell off so that we can have more of You, then today we lay it before You right here and right now and ask, Father, for more. More of that eternity to come that's alive in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.